Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today we will continue in our studies, which we have entitled The Voice of the Lord. And we have chosen for our theme verse, as we've been mentioning in prior broadcasts, Psalm 29:4, and this is our theme verse. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. And today we wish to talk about His voice of grace and the wonder of that grace. He spoke, and a sinful woman found peace. In Luke chapter 7, we will consider it immediately. He spoke, and a perfected salvation was consummated for an entire world. John chapter 19. Thirdly, He spoke and melted the heart of a stubborn Saul, who became the greatest of all the apostles. In Luke chapter 7, our Lord Jesus Christ was invited to the house of a Pharisee by the name of Simon. We read about it in Luke chapter 7 and verse 36, and one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she's a sinner. Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he said, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, the one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose he that to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, corresponding to the 500 pence, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? He saith to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee, go in peace. And believe me, when she left, she took that peace with her. He gave her that peace to sustain her. Now, here is the real grace of our Lord Jesus Christ coming out. He spoke and a sinful woman found peace. The sad part of it was that Simon didn't see himself in need of the Lord. It was rather a condescension, I suppose, upon his part, to invite the Lord to a meal at his house. He was a very famous person. And now he sees the grace of God in action. Actually, the reason that the Lord could tell this woman, Thy sins be forgiven thee, is because he died for them. The immorality that had characterized her life was all placed on the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. All we like sheep have gone astray, Isaiah tells us. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Our sins were laid on the Lord Jesus and hers too. And so she found peace because she came to the Lord Jesus. She was broken, a broken woman. Broken, no doubt, because of her sin. And she came and kissed his feet and anointed them with oil, wiped his feet with the hairs of her head. And Simon found out that the Lord did know what kind of woman this was. Now, he spoke, and a perfected salvation was consummated for an entire world. This is found in John chapter 19, verse 28. These are the final moments of our Lord Jesus Christ when he was on the cross before he expired, before he dismissed his spirit. We read there in John chapter 19 and verse 28, "After this, Jesus, knowing all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. Jesus therefore, when he had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. It is finished." This is remarkable that he would say that. What did he mean was finished? His mission was finished. We read in John's first epistle, chapter 4, verse 10. "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, to be the sacrifice for our sins." He was on a mission. He was sent by the Father, and he assumed the responsibility for all our sins, and God laid them on Christ when he was on that cross and he died for those sins. And he said, it is finished. The work that saves is done. You and I don't have to do anything. It was Christ that died for our sins. God demands death for sin. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. We read also in Romans 6 and 23, in that wonderful chapter, that sixth chapter of Romans that the Apostle Paul brings before us. Here it is: "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Wages of sin. Sin leads to death. He died our death for us. He took our place. It is so interesting to note that the first recorded words of our Lord Jesus Christ are recorded in Luke chapter 2. It was the time of the Passover, and his parents went up to Jerusalem along with the faithful of Israel to celebrate the Passover feast. Jesus went along. And then after they had finished their tour in Jerusalem, after they had finished their devotions in Jerusalem, they returned home. And the Lord Jesus was not with them. They supposed that he was following the children behind. It was a family time. The families would get together and the children would play behind. But when they came to the end of the day, Christ was not in the company. They turned back to Jerusalem. They searched for him 3 days, and finally they found him in the temple. When they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, "Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing." And he said unto them, "How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" Which Father? His heavenly Father. The word Father is capitalized. Yes, he was about his Father's business. These are the first recorded words of our Lord Jesus Christ. "I must be about my Father's business." The last words that he said for the hearing of all mankind were, "It is finished." And then he quietly said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And he shouted it. Now the Matthew Gospel account and the Mark Gospel account tells us that he shouted loudly, "It is finished," for our whole world to hear. The work that saves is done. It is finished. Come and appropriate it for yourself. Now the last one, he spoke and melted the heart of a stubborn Saul. Acts chapter 9, Saul was en route to Damascus with the authority to imprison all the Christians that he could find and bring them back. And now, as he was traveling, as he journeyed, verse 3 of the 9th chapter of Acts, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks, against the goads of your conscience. Those were my words, the pricks in the sentence. And he was trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said to him, Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Saul went into the city, and he was 3 days without food and without drink. He fasted. He had found out something dreadful as far as he was concerned, and yet something wonderful. The very one that he had persecuted with such vigor, with all the vigor that that young man could command, now was speaking to him in grace. Ananias met him, and he received his sight. He was stricken blind. Those 3 days, Ananias restored his sight, and he began to find out who it was that he had been persecuting. Yes, the Apostle Paul's heart was melted, and in the first chapter of Timothy, chapter 1 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul says, This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And this was just not false humility. You know, we think of the sins of the flesh as being much more abhorrent to God than the sins of the spirit, not soul. In the book of Proverbs, of the 7 things that God hates, the proud look heads the list. And Saul was an exceedingly proud man. He says, I was the chief of sinners, and God saved me. And then the inference is, now he can save anybody. And so he touched the heart of a stubborn man, stubborn Saul, and he melted that heart. He spoke. These are the words of grace. God does speak in grace. Now, one day our Lord Jesus Christ is coming, and he's going to speak in judgment. This is the day of grace. This is the dispensation of grace. This is the day of our opportunity. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the day when we can come to our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, we come before you today, and we thank you for the gracious words of our Lord Jesus Christ that spoke peace to those with whom he contacted. May that peace reach down to each and every listener into this broadcast today. We ask in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks. Amen.